The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Hi, we're the Emperors from the UK. You're listening to the Mal Thursday Show out of Austin, Texas.
From my first floor penthouse on the south side of the south side of Weird City, this is the Mal Thursday Show with your master of ceremonies, Mal Thursday. That would be me. And this week, I've got a great episode for you featuring one of my favorite bands, the Embrooks, who have just reunited after 10 years and have just released a new 45, both sides of which we'll hear later in the show. Here to tell you all the Embrooks story are all three of the band members, guitarist Alessandro Cozy Lapri, drummer Lois Tozer, and bassist Mole Lambert. In the years since the Embrooks split, Mole has been a busy man, heading state records and playing and recording with such bands as The Higher State, the Baron 4, Groovy Uncle, and the Galileo 7. I'll let Mole start the Embrook story at the beginning, here on the Mal Thursday Show.
In 1995, Alessandro came to London in England to study from Rome in Italy. A band that I was in at that point, we had met him at a festival in Italy in 95. We were asked to go and play this festival in Italy and then just got kind of left at the festival site. 50% of the band were kind of blind drunk, pretty much, and then the other 50% weren't very happy about that, and that was a really bad gig. But I guess that kind of sowed the seed in some respects, I suppose. But at least we established contact with Alessandro at that point. I think we played the festival in June 95, and then he came to London in September of that year. So concurrent with the Mistreated, me and Lois had another band going called The Lids, which was, well, musically, that would have been kind of the beginnings of the Embrooks, because it, when that band kind of folded, when the other guy kind of quit, we asked Alessandro to join, and it was really just a continuation of what that band had been doing, which was the kind of sort of moody, minor key, kind of New England teen scene, kind of American garage kind of thing. So we kind of got going with that. The Embrooks and Mistreated kind of carried on concurrently for a couple more years, and then I think the Mistreated finished somewhere around the middle of 98. So first Embrooks gig was at a small club here in the town where we live, where once upon a time there used to be a kind of live music scene, which they very much kind of isn't really now. The first single was But I Didn't Know Him, with a cover of the Gollywogs' Fight Fire on the B-side.
Yeah.
the real change was probably going to America for the first time in October 99. It changed everything.
How did it change everything, Mum?
How did it change everything? What, instead of you asking questions from the back, why don't you just chip in with some additional information?
My opinion of how it changed everything, we went from relatively feeble moodiness because I was a relatively feeble drummer, and then I got all muscly. And basically we started rocking out and started, you know, becoming a bit more like a meat and potatoes band. We got substance.
Yeah, there's some accuracy there. There was a change in kind of musical direction away from that kind of miserable, moody, minor key thing towards more kind of English and European kind of style.
I'll tell you, what was the inspiration was we started to really listen heavily to the Monks and got into that philosophy of making show and really going for it and trying to, like, you know, throw in what we actually felt about the music onto the stage, and it kind of blossomed into something a bit more raw, a bit more aggressive.
One from the what I think of as the better period, which is a song that I wrote, is Please Don't Worry, which just came out like I thought it would. It was one of those things where you kind of like have a song or you make a demo or whatever, and then when you kind of give it to the band, obviously it's going to change to some extent, and it did, but it still panned out really well. That was kind of our sort of slightly kind of Euro beat kind of Englishy, freak beat-ishy kind of period. And the idea behind that song was to basically was to try and write a song that was like a Naderbeat song, that was like an early Golden Earring song or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's nailed that. It's so great.
I like to think so.
I just think of myself as J-Bar when I'm playing that drum.
From the Golden Earrings?
Yes.
to tell me that you're sorry. Please don't think too much of me. Please don't worry. I felt as if to die, so confused I couldn't cry. But when I felt things were wrong, I knew love had gone. So don't bother trying to tell me that you're sorry. Please don't think too much of me. Please don't worry. Trying to tell me that you're sorry. Please don't think too much of me. Please don't worry. I could scarcely understand that you found another man. And then now my life has changed. I won't see you again. So don't bother trying to tell me that you're sorry. Please don't think too much of me. Please don't worry. No, please don't worry. No, please don't worry. No, please don't worry.
For me, I think the big change was going into the book of Greg Shaw and Lee Joseph. Playing that festival opened up and a new avenue, which was America, basically.
Yeah.
American labels.
Yeah, that is totally true. So we ended. The first show that we did in the US was like a big weekender thing in Las Vegas. The Las Vegas grind. It was Halloween '99. Through some mutual friends in San Francisco, they'd managed to also get some additional shows in California. So we did the show in Las Vegas, and then we were kind of on the coattails of this little run of shows. We did LA, San Francisco, and
San Diego.
I'm pretty sure I remember talking to Lee Joseph from Dionysus at the LA show. Don't think we met Greg Shaw on those gigs.
No, he wasn't there.
He wasn't there, but somebody must have said to him, oh, there's this band. And then he got in touch, and then the idea was to revive the Vox label, you know, the subsidiary of Bomp, and put out an album. Because I think on a, you know, low level, the album was fairly successful. It certainly got very good distribution. Certainly a lot of American airplay.
That's Our New Day.
Our New Day is the album.
Try to stop the murder, so I know. WFMU is so supremely excited and proud to present, all the way from London, England, the Embrooks!
Say nothing, now what's on me? I hear but don't listen to what people say. I look for the sunshine at the end of the day. Yeah. Now I'm standing upside down, beating the air and my head to the ground. Since it's always been that way, now keep living day to day. Day in and day out, I scream till I'm blue. No sound's coming out. I'm down when I'm happy, and I smile when I'm sad. I pity myself, and it makes me feel glad. Yeah, now I'm standing upside down, beating the air and my head to the ground. Seems it's always been that way, but I keep living day to day. I think we know nothing, and pretend I know all. I ain't got a phone, but I'm expecting a call. I drink when I'm hungry, and I eat when I'm dry. My friends, they don't know me, and neither do I. Yeah. Now I'm standing upside down, beating the air and my head to the ground. Seems it's always been that way, and I keep living day to day. I keep living day to day. I keep living day to day. I keep living day to day.
But from Our New Day, my favourite track off that album, though, is Bad Flight, written by Al. It's just the most bizarre song because it's about having a panic attack on an airplane and getting all claustrophobic, which I think is just excellent subject matter. I mean, and it moves away from his usual, that girl, she really hates me, but I love her, so I want to kill myself. So, and it's such a powerful track. Can we play it live? And I just love it. It's superb. It's such good fun.
It's got a great sustained feedback solo, which I played.
Yeah, so enjoy listening, folks. Enjoy listening.
Well,
was a real shame with Bond, because it seemed like we had a really good thing going with them, and we were kind of lined up to sort of do a follow-up, and then at the last minute he kind of said, oh no, we didn't really make enough money on the first one to justify doing a second one, really sorry and all that. And we were kind of a little bit stuck at that point. We didn't really have any kind of contingency. So it took us like 4 years to make another album. I mean, I think there must have been a couple of singles or a couple of tracks came out here and there on a couple of different compilations or something like that in that period. But what we thought, you know, we thought there was going to be a follow-up album for Bond, and then unfortunately that didn't happen, so...
No, but happily the Monster album, Yellow Gas Prospections, happened, and that was a monster of an album, a monster on Munster.
You didn't want to hurt me, just wanted to be happy, fickle girl.
naively holding out for a label to basically pay to put us in the studio. And having kind of recorded some like half decent quality demos, and we had the album, we had a couple of decent singles, we had stuff that we could say, look, this is what we do. Are you interested in doing something? And it was, you know, a very typical thing of people just either not responding at all, or basically saying, yeah, well, you know, we like what you do, but we haven't got any money, we can't afford to put you in the studio. And we held out and held out and held out. And eventually we just said, you know, if we don't pay to do this ourselves, no one else is going to do it. Which was basically how we ended up with that last album on Monster, Yellow Glass Perspectives. But basically we went in the studio with in Totorag with Liam Watson again, recorded an amazing album, a little bit more psychedelic than Our New Day. And then we kind of tried to sell that album to somebody, you know, to find somebody that was interested in putting it out. And Monster in Madrid in Spain, they actually responded and seemed genuinely interested, and they put the record out. And then about 6 months later, the band broke up.
Thank you.
have to say my favourite song is Emilia Barra's.
I wanted to nominate that one too, but Al got there first.
That's for me, is that where the Ambrooks almost approaches SF Sorrow, you know. which is probably one, it's definitely one of my top 10 LPs ever.
The Mal Thursday Show.
Thank you. last day. Show me a little smile. Surely we'll be fine. Meet another guy. The mystery girl won't fool
Perspectives is good. I like that a lot. That was sort of on the edge of like kind of pop psych maybe, and that's quite nice. The thing that I think about in that respect is more often the actual sound of the recording rather than the songs themselves. So I tend to kind of like write off the very early Embrook stuff because I just don't really like the sound of it anymore. But all the stuff that we did at Toe Rag, I totally stand behind that. I think that stuff came out sounding superb. With one or two exceptions, I probably like the vast majority of the covers that we did as well. But like I say, probably the vast majority, I think, are all very least credible. I think we did a very good version of The Barriers, Dawn Breaks Through. We did You Can Be My Baby by the Red Squares. We did that pretty good.
Shadows of the night, with a smile of a child.
Alessandro from the Ambrooks. You're listening to Math Says Asia. Retired from music from 2005 to I didn't really do anything until I actually moved to the United States. I lived 2 years in the United States from 2009 to 2011, and I was playing with friends, you know, nothing serious, but at least I kind of like got back into like playing guitar. I played with the Floor Shakers, which is, you know, it's kind of like a cover band from Minneapolis. And then I came back to England, and again, we did nothing for a couple of years. And then at the end of 2014, I joined a band of immigrants called Merry Men. And, like, this guy approached me that, you know, was trying to do some sort of kind of Stooges sounding band, and he needed a rhythm guitarist. So I joined them, and we lasted about a year. There was a talk about doing an album with Mole, actually, but it never really happened. We split up in the summer, basically, and just before then, you know, these Ambrooks things came back on.
So what I was doing was, like, 2005, I decided I was going to get all academic and go to school, But for music, I just did some stuff locally, mucked around with like a covers band, Velvet Underground covers band called Rally Man's Patter with some friends of ours, didn't record anything, played a couple of shows, and then did some avant-garde stuff, which was hilariously good fun, with a band called Red Rakan, with a very talented guy called Bernie Evely, who is a poet around here. And then I kind of just stopped playing altogether. And then I went to see the Grigri, August 2014. Mole had just recorded them in Hastings, and they went to do a show at Royal Standard that was being put on by the Frat Cave, Letty Gallagher and Justin Ellis. And I got a bit drunk, and Letty kind of cornered me and threatened me with vinyl and said, you know, do you play the drums? And I said, yes, of course I play the drums. And she made me try out for what became the Jezebels. And then I got match fit again, and then the Embrooks reformed.
The notion of the Embrooks getting back together had been proposed more than once. And I'd always kind of said, oh, I don't know. I wasn't sure that there was enough interest really to do it.
Can I just like interject here? Whenever anyone would like mention it, Mole wouldn't go, I don't know. Mole would go, no, 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 I'm not playing in a band with her again. Oh no, 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 absolutely no way. What he used to say.
I'm not entirely sure that's an accurate statement. But in all seriousness, I had what I thought were sound reservations for not just going, yeah, great, let's do it. At least partly from the point of view that everybody seemed like they were busy already, and that was at least part of the reason why the band broke up in the first place, was that everyone was just busy with other things, and it became difficult to commit, aside from the point that by the time that we broke up in 2005, you know, we'd been together for nearly 10 years in round terms, and that's, you know, a reasonable amount of time. I kind of felt that we'd set the bar fairly high with what we'd done before, and I didn't want to kind of trample all over that.
Yeah.
mean, Helen is probably, if not a favourite, it would be kind of close to, it would probably be top five for me, I would think.
On Our New Day, Helen, we recorded that with a lot of tambourine and it was like really pumping and great fun. But it never came out on a single, and so many people that we played it to would often say, oh, it's great, why isn't it out on a single? And we'd go through the same old, well, it's on an album, blah, 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 blah. So we thought that that would be an ideal track to record and put out again, a Helen for the 2016, with a bit more pump, but no tambourine, and just some little tweaks here and there. But ironically, it's exactly the same length as the album track. And that came as a real surprise to us, because once it was mastered back to back, it's exactly the same length. How crazy is that?
This Spanish girl was working in this vintage shop, and her name was Belen. I was in Clapton at the time, in this area of London called Clapton, and I woke up and I had this do-do-do tune in my head, and I was like, ah, that could be cool. And I said, like, hey, Maul, I got this tune, it's called Belen. And he just looked at me and was like, nah, mate, I'm not singing a song called Belen.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Mal. Thanks for having us on your show. It's been really cool talking to you.
Thank you very much, Mal. That was a pleasure for me to be on the show, and wish you the best for the future. Thanks.
Oh, Mal, thanks so much for like getting in touch and getting this thing going. I've really enjoyed it. Best wishes, and thanks for listening, folks.
And thank you, Lois, and Al, and Mal, the Embrooks. We heard a career-spanning selection of songs from the group, including I'm Still Trying, But I Didn't Know Him, the group's first single, Say Those Magic Words, Please Don't Worry, No Matter What You Say, Standing Upside Down, recorded live at WFMU, Bad Flight, Happy Fickle Girl, Nothing's Gonna Work, Amelia Burroughs, Show Me a Little Smile, You Can Be My Baby, For Another Man, and both sides of the band's reunion 45 on State Records, Nightmare and Helen, also known as Bellend. The band's four albums, Separations, Our New Day, Yellow Glass Perspections, and 45s in High Times, are all well worth seeking out. The Mal Thursday Show is produced by J.M. Dobies and Mal Thursday for worldwide airwaves. If you engage in social media, then by all means follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter, at Mal Thursday. MalThursday.com is where it's at, kids, with podcasts, merch, nonfiction, and more. This is Mal Thursday with one more number from the Embrooks, off their 2004 masterpiece, Yellow Glass Perspections, Riding a Wave on the Mal Thursday Show.
I'm sitting down by the sea, thinking about